questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
Call today.
More now on the deadly attack in Germany earlier this week. Police there have carried out multiple raids in several cities in a bid to catch Anis Amri. He's the main suspect wanted in connection with that attack on a Christmas market in Berlin, which killed 12 people and injured at least 50, including, we've learned, two Americans.
Amri was known to officials for having contact to radical Islamists and being a potential danger to the state. He was under surveillance, although police stopped monitoring him in September, a decision that is being scrutinized in the aftermath of the attack. Amri had applied for asylum in Germany, but his application was rejected, and he was supposed to be deported back to Tunisia in June. His deportation was delayed, however, because of administrative issues. Ira Spitzer, Berlin.
Most Democrats do not want Hillary Clinton to run for the White House again in 2020. That according to a new USA Today Suffolk University poll that says 62% of Democrats and independent surveyed say Clinton shouldn't mount another campaign. This is USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today, the daily links at USSportsPages.com.
A former follower of Charles Manson will be staying behind bars, Jason Campadonia reports.
The California Supreme Court refused Wednesday to hear the case of Leslie Van Houten. She's been convicted of being involved in the murder of two people inside their Los Feliz home and has been accused of committing several crimes with the Manson family. Houten is now 67 and has been denied parole 20 times, most recently by Governor Jerry Brown back in July. The former Monrovia High School cheerleader is not accused in the killing of pregnant actress Sharon Tate. Jason Campadonia, Los Angeles.
As Russia bids farewell to the slain ambassador to Turkey, President Vladimir Putin claims Russia is stronger than any potential aggressor.
A memorial ceremony was held in Moscow to commemorate the late Ambassador Andrei Karlov, whose assassination in Turkey Russia qualified as a barbaric act of terror. Following the service, Russia's President Vladimir Putin held a meeting with the Defense Ministry Board, at which he praised his country's strength and military achievements in order to develop missiles capable of penetrating any defense systems. Daria Bondarchuk, Moscow.
And today and tomorrow expected to be the busiest days for airports of the holiday season, as Airlines for America says about 2.4 million Americans are flying today. The world's busiest airport, Hartsfield-Jackson in Atlanta, expected to break its own record today with 100 million travelers for the year. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
On today's program, I'll be clarifying two things the panelists got wrong at last week's race relations meeting here in Flemington. I'll discuss why your business needs to have a sexual harassment policy, the top three things every small business must do, and I'll answer two questions from listeners about free shipping and how to get more solid online reviews. It's Thursday, December 22nd, 2016, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. And I'll be taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington, New Jersey, and look at issues affecting businesses on the national and local scene as well. A brief check of the weather shows it's currently a balmy 38 degrees at 12:05, and the forecast shows that today we're going to have variable cloudiness with a high of 46 degrees and a low of 24. For tomorrow, it'll be sunny with a high of 45 and a low of 28. For Christmas Eve Saturday, it'll be cloudy with rain early in the day and a high of 46 degrees and a low of 47. And for Christmas Day Sunday, it'll be sunny with a high of 47 degrees and a low of 25. So no chance of a white Christmas. Taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. We be taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime. Our current check of the financial market shows the Dow is down 52.31 to 19,889.65. The NASDAQ down 36.65 to 5434.79. S&P 500 down 8.11 to 2257.07. Oil is up 40 cents to $52.89 per barrel. Gold down $1.70 to $1,131.50 an ounce. Facebook viewers, you're up to date. Now it's time to switch over to www.huntingtonchamberradio.com to catch the rest of the program. Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the program. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, with you. So glad you could join us for what will end up being the last episode of Taking Care of Business for the year. Although the radio will be on next week, I have a commitment on the 29th that I have to take care of and won't be able to make the show. But I did want to wish all of you a very Merry Christmas, a Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah. Merry Kwanzaa, Happy Kwanzaa. So, you know, whatever you're celebrating, you know, enjoy it. Have a great time with it. Don't let the drama of, you know, family and everything else get in your way. Just go out and have a good time and enjoy your family. And you know, I always tell people you only get one, so you may as well enjoy them while they're here. Because when they're not, you know, then you don't want to look back and say, well, if I had spent more time with grandma and grandpa or, you know, a simple little quarrel you may have had with your mother or father years ago. Once they're gone, they're gone. And that's not something that anybody wants to, you know, have to deal with around the holidays. So let's get right into the program. Last week, last Thursday night, I attended a meeting at the Flemington DIY where we were discussing race relations here in rural New Jersey. And what brought this up was that the borough of Flemington had painted a blue line down Main Street. And it was designed to show support for police. And it seems as if people felt that that was more of a condemnation of the Black Lives Matter movement, or that, you know, they were trying to position, you know, that police lives were more important than anyone else's. And I don't think that's ever the intent. And prior to the meeting, I had an opportunity to speak to someone from the Police Unity Tour who said that the thin blue line is designed not to represent police, but the sadness that anyone would feel at the loss of a loved one. Now, that made perfect sense to me. What I was trying to get from people was, are we upset or are people upset about, that the fact that it's, representative of police or what? And so the panel was made up of two councilmen from Flemington, Brian Swingle and Mark Hain, both of whom have served or are presently serving as the police commissioner here in the Flemington borough. And it also was had panel members, a good moderator, and then panel members from the founder of Black Lives Matter at Rutgers University, Yamisha Bell, Alexa Offenhauer, who is the Hunterdon County, a member of the Hunterdon County Anti-Racist Coalition, and Jeff Wilhelms, who's race relations professor at Rutgers University. He's also the vice president of the Toms River NAACP. So what I was looking for when I got there was just to try to figure out whether or not race relations were such a hot topic. And you could tell leading up to this that it was a very hot topic with over 100 comments on Facebook, probably closer to 150 comments on Facebook, where people had, basic support for the police, and yet others, would weigh in regarding the Black Lives Matter movement. But there were two points that I think need to be clarified that were made by Yamisha Bell, who is the founder of Black Lives Matter at Rutgers University. The first was, and sometimes when you make a statement, I think you just have to be a little careful about how you word that statement, because she came out and said that the drug-free school zones are actually designed to oppress Black people. And it was her word, not mine, in using the word oppress. And she gave the example that, how many schools are there in Hunterdon County? And I think the number came out to like 7. And then she goes, well, how many do you think there are in urban areas like Newark? And, there you can find schools almost on every block. So when you have that 1,000-foot buffer zone, that drug-free school zone, she said that that was enacted back in 1986 to oppress Black people. And as I sat there listening, I go, I think back then it was more to protect the children in the schools than it was to pick on one race over another. And then I thought a little bit further, and she was continuing with her explanation, but she missed the point. A drug-free school zone was set up to provide a safe environment for children and an area where you shouldn't and will be penalized further if you do take part in an illegal activity called selling drugs. Now, last time I checked, selling drugs, and at the time in 1986, I believe it was cocaine, and crack was on the rise. So why then would they take it as if it was just aimed at Blacks? Because in the 80s, rich white kids were also selling cocaine. And the reason they used schools was because after hours, it was a safe place for them. Nobody was watching. You didn't have cameras everywhere now. So it would be like, meet me at this school in the parking lot. They'd make their transaction. They'd both drive off. So I can't say that it was really designed to oppress Black people. I think the penalty was, enhanced simply because they didn't want this happening at a school. They didn't want needles lying around a school. They didn't want drugs to possibly be lying around a school that a kid could get into. So I have an issue with that that statement that it was to oppress Black people simply because you're taking part in an illegal activity. So why now would you say that that's against one or another? So that's where I had an issue with that one. The second one was when she said that the 13th Amendment to the Constitution was written also to oppress Blacks. I Googled it while I was sitting in the room, and I didn't want to point it out that night because, I think the conversation was going pretty well. But the 13th Amendment states that neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. The 13th Amendment abolished slavery, not oppressed Blacks. It abolished slavery. It stated very clearly that Blacks could not be held except if the party was convicted of a crime. Now, when you're in these forums and you're speaking and everything, it's very easy to twist words and to twist your message so that it benefits you. But you have to tell the whole story. As soon as she said that it was written to oppress blacks, I was like, you got to be kidding me here. You know, I don't know. I was going to do it, and I forgot to look up how many black people there are in America. But I can tell you that if we had an amendment to our Constitution that was written to oppress blacks, I don't think they'd be living here. I think they'd go somewhere else. So you can't rewrite the laws and the actions to only benefit your cause. It is ignorant of the true meaning, and it delegitimizes your argument and cause. In other words, you got to get your facts straight. Now, overall, at the end of the meeting, I did get up and I mentioned to the whole crowd that I hope that this was the first of what will be many meetings like this. So, and I pointedly said that we need to hear from the black community what their concerns are. They also need to hear from any other color community, white, Asian, whatever, Hispanic, what are their concerns so that we can all start working together to make this town, this region, this country a better place. Black Lives Matter, as I mentioned on last week's show, the national heads in Baltimore and Washington, D.C. were invited to speak with the police chiefs in those two towns. They refused. So I think at some point, if you really want to have that movement, the Black Lives Matter movement, be taken just a little bit more seriously. First, they have to eliminate any violence, rioting, looting, etc., whenever something goes wrong. And they have to come to the table and be able to speak clearly, coherently, logically about their arguments and make sure that they're not saying that things like the 13th Amendment or laws aimed at preventing people from participating in illegal activities in certain zones are aimed solely at one race or class over another. You're listening to Taking Care of Business, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join us. And, of course, I'd be remiss if I started the show without a little holiday music to get us in the mood and get us thinking about what's going to be happening here over the weekend. So here you go from my friend Andy Williams.
It's It's the most wonderful.
Sing along if you want.
With the kids jingle-belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Yes, it is. The most wonderful time of the year, the holidays. Hopefully you'll be able to get together with your family and friends and spend time with them and just enjoy the season and enjoy time with your family and making sure that you get with them. And don't forget the ones, you know, take some time out to forget the ones who aren't at the table with you this year as well. Well, the clock is ticking, and there are five ways to end the year strong and start the new year fast, but you have to find the time to focus on closing out the sales year and then take strategic steps to set up your business for a fast and clean start in January. 1,440, that's the number of minutes in a day. Arguably, the greatest challenge for any small business owner is balancing the demands that compete for those minutes. Now, what is the best use of my time right now is the constant management question that's being asked of consultants and of people. How can I use my time in this moment? And no other part of the year are we more challenged than in December when we're faced with allocating time to two very powerful imperatives, the tactical focus on closing out the sales year as strongly as possible while simultaneously taking strategic steps to set the business up for a fast and clean start in January. Now, in his book, Blue Highways, William Leestheat Moon Trogdon said his Osage Indian grandfather once told him, some things don't have to be remembered. They remember themselves. Now, it's a natural law that the year-end sales push doesn't have to be remembered. It does remember itself. But as we come to that two-minute drill in the last quarter of the marketplace, our business plays all year. Committing precious time and energy to preparing for the future requires the discipline to remember it ourselves. There are many areas to focus on as we get towards the end of the year to help you start the new year clean and fast. And here are five that will get you started. So hopefully, as you prepare to both enjoy the holiday this weekend, you still have a week to go where you can kind of get yourself set to start January out strong. So the first is, let's start throwing stuff away. Now, even if you're not a pack rat, you've accumulated stuff that you don't use anymore. For example, one of the markers of a 21st century office is the digital graveyard. Unused or broken computers, monitors, etc., they may have some value, so call a tech recycler and convert it into cash or donate it to a school or something. If you can't sell it, give it away or throw it away because it's in your way. You want to empower producers and cut the dead wood. Year-end is also a great time to take stock of employees who've demonstrated leadership and engagement. Recognizing the performance of those individuals will motivate them to a fast start in the new year. The only thing worse than firing someone is letting an unproductive employee hold your team's performance hostage for another year. A byproduct of identifying those who perform is it also shines a light on those who don't. You owe productive people the most effective organization possible, which means you have to let the unproductive pursue their careers elsewhere. Now's a good time to classify your customers. Classify customers by gross profit into four groups. From the most profitable, give them a grade of A, to the least profitable, a D. Worship the A's, cater to the B's, encourage the C's, and teach the D's about self-service. When the cost of a customer's expectations encroaches on your profit margin too much, they're taking up too much of your time or your staff's time, allow them to join your unproductive employees elsewhere. You also want to purge inventory. Now, as with customers, this is a good time to take a new look at your products and inventory by identifying the most profitable A's to the least profitable D's. Stock all the A's, a few of the B's, and maybe a couple of C's, but never let a D spend one night under your roof unless it's paid for. Remember, profitable inventory management means just in time, not just in case. And you want to write off obsolete and damaged inventory, so take the hit now. You also have to face your AR reality. Take another hit by writing off uncollectible accounts receivables now so you can start January with a clean list. AR write-offs are tax deductions this year, and if you wind up collecting them next year, it's gravy. The only thing more troubling to a banker than uncollected AR is a customer who doesn't have the discipline to deliver a clean balance sheet. Each new year deserves to have the maximum opportunity to be successful, so don't saddle it with obsolescence, waste, and bad decisions. By taking these steps and others from your own list, you'll prove to yourself, your team, and your banker that you have the discipline to make the critical decisions for which successful managers are known. So the five ways to end the year strong and start the new year fast is by throwing stuff away, empowering your producers and cutting the dead wood, classifying your customers, purging inventory, and face your accounts receivable reality. I really like the classifying the customers and inventory. Next week, we pretty much shut down at Crown Trophy. So my son and I will be going in. We have to do some maintenance on equipment and things like that. But looking at the warehouse, I've already made the decision. You know, I have to spend a certain amount of time purging inventory. I have to obviously do the maintenance, clean the place up a little bit. You know, when we get at the end of every busy season, the place looks like a wreck. So, you know, we're going to go in, clean it up, purge what's not needed. And I think we'll also be classifying some of our inventory as well and seeing what stays, what goes. So, and this may sound silly, but I am really looking forward to it because we have been outgrowing our space, and it's time to take some of that back. Just taking a look at the next couple of stories. There are a couple that I definitely wanted to get to, so we'll start with this one. This is something that came up in a conversation with my insurance agent, Doug Bateman, of the Insurance Center's Bateman Agency. Are sexual harassment rules too PC for small business? He asked me. We sat down to do our year-end review of my insurance, and he had asked me, you don't have sexual harassment insurance. I'm like, Doug, you've known me for 50 years. Do I seem like the person that's going to, you know, harass people or sexually harass people? He goes, I'm not worried about you. But he goes, you have to worry about your employees. You have to worry about your customers. You have to worry about any vendors that might, you know, come in and tell an off-color joke, your delivery people. He goes, everybody can expose you to that liability. So sexual harassment policies are a necessary human resources aspect of small business management, but a lot of owners are reluctant to institute rules. So here's a sexual harassment tip sheet. First of all, we have to define what is sexual harassment, and that is any unwelcome advances, requests for sexual favors, verbal or physical harassment of a sexual nature, or offensive remarks about a person's sex that creates a hostile work environment. Now here's the kicker. Both men and women can be victims or perpetrators of sexual harassment. Harassers can be the victim's supervisor, coworker, or customer. Sexual harassment violations are enforced by the Federal Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, the EEOC, and or State and Local Fair Employment Practices Act agencies, FEPA. Federal sexual harassment laws cover all private and public employers with 15 or more employees. Some states and local governments have extended these laws to very small companies with fewer than 15 employees. A sexual harassment lawsuit filed by former Fox News host Gretchen Carlson led Fox News founder and CEO and former chairman Roger Ailes to resign this past summer. Other network executives were also fired over the allegations. Carlson's suit, bolstered by harassment complaints levied by a number of Fox News staffers, captured attention this election season and even generated a response from GOP nominee Donald Trump. Sexual harassment isn't just a problem in show business or big business, however. Employers, including small business owners, are responsible for protecting their employees and their organizations from harassment and its legal ramifications. The consequences can be disastrous for those who don't. Take the Dunkin' Donuts franchise owner in New York who agreed in August to pay $150,000 to set a federal equal employment suit. Hold on a minute. It always helps if you bring the next page with you when you're reading that story. So they had an EEOC lawsuit after his manager repeatedly harassed young female employees. Or McWhite's Funeral Home in Fort Lauderdale, which, according to its website, has fewer than 10 employees. Its owner agreed in May to pay $85,000 to settle harassment charges filed against him by employees. Or you can take the Acciotti restaurant in San Ysidro, California, which in April agreed to pay $27,500 to settle a harassment and retaliation suit. The EEOC found that owners failed to properly respond when a male manager was caught videotaping male employees in the restroom. That settlement required the restaurant's owners to develop harassment policies and provide training to employees and managers. A total of 11,364 sexual harassment charges were handled by the EEOC and state agencies in 2011, and of those cases, 26% were decided in favor of the complainants, with employers of all sizes paying out $52.3 million in victim settlements in 1 year alone. Small employers would be well advised to adopt an adequate anti-harassment policy, provide training to their employees, and follow the policy if an employee makes a complaint, said Michael Simani, who's an employment lawyer and partner at Kilgore Perlman in Orlando. Such a policy, he said, shows employees that the employer cares about their well-being while also providing legal defense in the event of a sexual claim or a sexual harassment claim. Yet 67% of small employers have no anti-harassment rules or training in place, according to a new Manta poll on small business sexual harassment protocols. 41% said sexual harassment policies were unnecessary given my small number of employees. 11% said rules were too PC for my company's culture. Now, I've had clients complain that the work environment is casual or not very regimented, so implementing training and written policies results in a pushback from employees who aren't used to such rules, said Gordon Berger, who's a labor and employment attorney at Ford Harrison in Atlanta. But clear rules and training are simply good business, said Berger. Without anything in writing and without training, an employer risks that an employee interprets the policies differently and claims there was no policy or says that he or she was unaware. That puts you, the business owner, without much defense. Should your employees or managers harass someone or fail to address a complaint? Small and informal companies may feel that this kind of training spoils the fun. They don't want to introduce what they see as a bureaucracy and too many corporate policies, said Michaela Kiner, who's the founder of Uniquely HR, a human resources consulting firm in Seattle. But nothing spoils fun like having employees treating each other disrespectfully. No matter how small your staff, it's never too early to train employees on your standards of conduct around sexual harassment, said Kiner. Small teams often have a feeling of friendship and camaraderie, and it's easy to forget that there are boundaries at work. You're listening to Taking Care of Business. We're going to step away for a quick news break, and when we come back, we will have more on how to make your business better for 2017. We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
He'd probably want my number one priority to be what it has been, which is to be a more discreet advisor and somebody who helps him to effectively support him.
Kellyanne Conway speaking to reporters. She's been named a counselor to the president. She will be the most powerful woman inside the White House. Conway says she'll do all she can to support President-elect Trump.
Nobody is the master, brilliant communicator and connector that he is. That's how he won this campaign. That's how he became president. So if I can support that, I will.
The suspect in the deadly Berlin truck attack that killed 12 people, reportedly on a U.S. watch list for months. The New York Times is reporting Anas Amri was placed on the no-fly list after intelligence officials discovered he was researching explosive devices and communicating with ISIS. Amri now considered the likely assailant in the attack. Get more news online at usaradio.com.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
Call today.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington. So glad you could join us. And as we wrap up the year with our final show of the year, we're getting ready to come back in January. And this would be a great time for you to start emailing me questions and topics that you want me to cover next year or do the research on. I'd be glad to do that for you. And we have two questions that we received this past week, so I thought we would touch on them as well. But first, a check of the weather shows it's currently 38 degrees at 1234. And today we're going to have variable cloudiness with a high of 46 degrees and a low of 24. For tomorrow, it'll be sunny with a high of 45 degrees and a low of 28. For Christmas Eve, Saturday, it'll be cloudy with rain early in the day and a high of 46 degrees and a low of 47. And for Christmas Day, Sunday, it will be sunny with a high of 47 degrees and a low of 25. So unless there's a Christmas miracle, I don't see a white Christmas in our forecast this year. So periodically, we get questions from listeners. They come in all forms, from email to Facebook to Twitter. And sometimes people will actually call me in the shop and talk about the show and say, hey, you know what? You need to talk about this. So there is a business, a local business, that wants to offer free shipping. He feels that he's losing to the Amazons of the world because they're offering free shipping. And so we discussed this for a little bit. And he said, how can I make my shipping more profitable, or free shipping more profitable? Now, as far as I know, no one likes to pay for shipping. Studies by consulting companies and others show a dramatic increase in a completed sale if there is free shipping. By setting a minimum order amount to qualify for free shipping, if it's reasonable, you're giving the customer an incentive to increase their purchase. Of course, you need to factor the free shipping into your prices. Now, free shipping is always based on the most economical method. It may take some pricing trial and error to determine what the most attractive and profitable price is for this to work. But once you've done a program like this for a period of time, you should have a good idea of what average shipping costs are going to be. One factor that offsets the cost of shipping is the fact that it requires the customer to order more. So as the average order goes up, so do profits, making it financially feasible. So when you're thinking about that, you have to, before you just say we're going to offer free shipping, it's a good idea to start tracking the cost of the items you ship based on the dollar amount, based on the size of the package, based on the weight of the package, and the distance that it's going to travel. If when they talk about the least expensive method is probably third or fourth class U.S. mail, but is your customer willing to wait 2 or 3 weeks to receive their product? You're competing against Amazon, which now in some areas has same-day delivery. So there again, do a study, factor in, and know what does it take for a certain either dollar amount or size and weight of the package to ship, and then to a certain zone. And then once you have that average, incorporate that into the price of the product and then offer the free shipping. So that's the one question. Hopefully we helped answer that here today. The second question was, what are some ways to get more solid online reviews? This business that wrote this question has been in business about 12 years. And he said, nobody reviews my business. And I said, well, that can be both a good thing and a bad thing. Good thing, because that means a lot of people aren't having negative reactions to your business. Bad thing, because they're not out there telling people that they're having a good time doing business with you. So if your competitors have more reviews than you, they will eventually outrank you on local search terms. And unfortunately, many people won't take the time to critique unless they've had a negative experience. That goes back to that old saying, you know, if a person has a bad experience, they'll tell 20 people, but if they have a good experience, you're lucky if they tell two. So rather than waiting for reviews to appear, why not reach out for positive feedback? And this can be done by several different means. You can contact your friends and family. And we've all worked for people who are close to us, and there's nothing wrong with asking them to leave you a nice review. Spread the love across several sites for maximum exposure. Use your email signature, as it already informs customers and business partners with contact details. Add links to review sites to earn some honest kudos from those who already do business with you. When sending newsletters and promotional blasts to customers, directly request feedback and provide the links. Likewise, a click here to read our reviews call to action can get a potential customer to consider making a purchase. There's no better time to get a good review than the moment that you've satisfied a new customer. When following up or fielding a happy thank you call, mention that the best thanks is a post to share the experience with others. Most review sites monitor the pace that reviews are submitted in order to filter false posts. Too many reviews within a small period of time could result in a penalty. So reach out for reviews once or twice a month to gather them steadily throughout the year. So there's some good advice on the importance of getting good reviews. And that can't be stated enough, because, as it mentioned, it'll help you get better placement in search engines. So, and I think also, I don't there's times when I'll, especially with restaurants, where you go on and you read reviews and, you know, there'll be 20 good ones and then three or four bad ones. And I'm like, well, maybe the chef had a bad night. I typically, you know, unless I see like a Board of Health grade rating, I'm not going to, I'll give the restaurateur the benefit of the doubt. I'll go in. If I have a good meal, chances are I'm coming back. If I don't, chances are I'm not. But I don't necessarily have to go and blast it all over the internet so that people reading the reviews decide, well, we're not going there because Jim Gano said no. I will tell you that last Saturday night, my wife and I had the opportunity to go to Capital Craft in Greenbrook, which is a restaurant. It used to be the old Charlie Brown's on Route 22. Now it's called Capital Craft. They've been open for about a year, year and a half. So they have a ton of craft beers, a wood-fired pizza oven, and some of the best burgers you're ever going to have. So if you ever get a chance, you're looking for a place to take the family, head down over to Greenbrook to Capital Craft. It was delicious. Another question that has been popping up a lot is, I've built my Facebook page, and there's nobody here. And this reminds me of a patch that my sister had back in the 70s. where I think she had it sewn on a jacket, and it read, suppose they gave a war and nobody came. And it's the same thing. You put up a Facebook page, but nobody comes to it. Nobody likes it. Nobody follows you. So how do you get more Facebook followers? And here's how we're going to tell you how to do that in about 5 minutes. Targeting Facebook users who've already engaged with your post is an easy way to gain more followers for your small business's Facebook page. Are you looking for ways to get more Facebook likes for your small business? Building an audience of followers who see and interact with your posts helps you reach more customers organically and then gather metrics to effectively target your Facebook ads. This strategy takes time, but it doesn't have to be difficult. Betsy McLeod, who is a content marketing specialist for Blue Corona, has a suggestion for gaining more followers that only takes a minute. Invite people who have already shown interest in your post to like your page. Now, to do this one, you need at least some engagement, McLeod says. When you have a post that gets likes, click on the number of likes, and when you do, a box will pop up of all the people that liked the post. In that box, McLeod said, you should see who has liked your page already. You'll also see who has not, and there will be a button to invite that person to like your page. When you invite these people to like your page, there's a higher chance they'll accept because they've already shown interest in your offerings. Once they do, they'll keep getting updates from your business. So I think that's an excellent tip on how to get more likes. They're already there. They've already said they like something that you said. Now it's time for you to just invite them to like your page and see what happens. So hopefully that will help you as well. All right. We're going to step away, take a break, and when I come back, I want to talk to you about how to protect your inventory during a store renovation. This time of year, a lot of people will start thinking about painting, building, things like that. You need to protect your inventory, and we're going to tell you how to do that after the break. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our 100 Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the 100andchamberradio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, law offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. Building business, one business at a time.
Oh, you lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano. Glad to be with you, as we have been for over 5 years on this program. So glad you've been following along and hopefully getting some tips along the way. And here's a tip that I probably should have paid more attention to last year. Now, if you recall, back in August of 2015, they had to come in and tear down all the walls in the store, dig up the floor, because they had to replace a sewer line in the store. And what you need to be aware of is how to protect your inventory during store renovations. So if you're fixing up your retail space or any office, it could be a lawyer's office, anything, a dentist's office, but if you're doing any kind of improvements, simply painting is an improvement, you know, or construction, fixing up your space can be great for business unless your assets get in harm's way. Now, whether your business is preparing for a minor refresh or a major rehab, protecting your inventory and furniture can be challenging. Work crews will tromp in and out of your space throughout the renovation project, along with machinery that can kick up dust, sparks, paint, and fumes. In other words, there's an elevated risk of damage to your assets. Now, these simple tips are going to help keep your store renovation running smoothly and your inventory safe and sound. The first is you want to maximize space. Before the first can of paint is opened, prepare by removing all fragile, movable fixtures and inventory from the area. Construction equipment and materials take up a lot of space and require a halo of clearance to operate safely. The more space you can create for your work crew, the faster your renovation project can proceed. If you're short on back room space, consider on-site temporary storage solutions. That's what we did by renting two pods containers. Also, you want to be conscious of safety first. Be sure to create a clear path for your work crew. In addition, protecting them from injury, you will also mitigate your own liability. Be sure any flammable or breakable inventory or fragile store fixtures like mirrors are safely stored out of harm's way. Your own employees should only be on site on an as-needed basis. Don't allow extra bodies to hang around with nothing to do except watch. You also want to avoid loss. Unsecured fixtures and inventory are at risk for dings, scratches, and even total loss. Even the most careful construction crew can't guarantee that every item in your store will remain unblemished during a project. Make sure that you've properly secured, covered, and stored your fixtures and inventory, and check with your insurance company before the renovation project begins to confirm what kind of coverage you have for damage or loss. So, there's some. In addition, construction sites are unfortunately popular targets for theft, so avoid storing materials and inventory outside or inside an unsecure facility. Consider having temporary on-site storage units delivered, or for longer projects, use long-term storage solutions until your materials are needed again. So, some great tips there on how to prepare for any renovations you may be doing and how to protect your inventory along the way. So hopefully, if you are doing any projects next week or in the beginning of the new year, those tips can help you there as well. What are the top three things? When you get to this time of year, you start talking about goals and resolutions and things like that, but what are the top three things that every small business must do on a consistent and regular basis? Now, people who have successful businesses are doing certain things on a regular basis that appear to be similar. Also, it seems those who are struggling are not doing these things. Now, there are a few key elements that I think are critical for every small business owner to ensure success and avoid potential pitfalls. First, you have to know your target market. So make sure you have a marketing plan, no matter how formal or informal. A big part of that plan is knowing who you are selling to, and you also have to note that that can change on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. In today's highly saturated information world, reaching your potential customers is difficult and can be impossible if you do not know who they are. This is something that needs to be looked at, studied, and updated at least quarterly. When you pick your target market, you must know who your target market is. So find out where they hang out. Are they online? Are they at the supply store, etc.? And make sure that your sales pitch and collateral materials talk to your target market. Make sure you have the right samples, prices, and your pitch. Then get into their groups, follow them on Twitter, like their Facebook pages, attend their trade events, and start winning their business. And don't forget also following people and joining groups on LinkedIn. You also have to know your true cost. The biggest factor here is making sure this is something that you are working at and tracking. Now, let's say you're selling T-shirts, and each shirt costs you $2 to buy, and you sell it for $5. Cool. You just made a 60% profit on that, right? I'm in business, right? But wait, how much did it cost you to have that shirt shipped to you? And what about the cost of the transfer paper and the ink? How about the cost of the printer and the heat press? What about the cost of your cell phone, basement space, and fancy website? What about the most important cost of all, your time? Maybe you should have sold the shirt for $15 to make 30 to 40% profit. This is an area of focus that must be worked on regularly. So update your numbers and review your pricing on a monthly or at least on a quarterly basis. And this will help avoid any big surprises that could take away from your success in business. And number three, work at selling and marketing. In today's marketplace, you cannot force your products on potential customers. You must build, create your customers via all sorts of different models and different channels. To do this, you need to put aside 30 to 60 minutes per day. Now, during this time, you want to be able to make sales calls. You want to be able to work on your social media platforms and post. And you also want to send out press releases and other sales and marketing items that fit into your target market. You must keep that pipeline full of potential customers who you are interacting with or developing more business in your current customer base. Otherwise, one day you may wake up and not have any work to be done. There is no magic bullet to attract orders, just hard work and organic growth. So a couple of cool tips there. Hopefully they will help as well. But the one thing that I keep coming back to, and there's just no way to avoid it, plain and simple, is you have to constantly market and promote your business. And, you know, when I started this show and when I talk with business owners and I tell them my first rule in business is pretty much the most important rule, ABP, always be promoting, it just keeps coming back, you know, and improving itself right time and time again. So hopefully as we talk about preparing for 2017, let's put marketing at the top of the list and knowing our customers, knowing our numbers, and then create a plan. And seasonal is a great way to do it. How do you want to market yourself in the springtime, in the summer, in the fall, in the winter, and come up with what those promotions will be, what those plans are, tweak them along the way so that when you're ready to release, they're ready to go. You also have to respond to all of your reviews, both good and bad, particularly on Google. Letting your company's online reviews go unanswered can hurt your reputation. So here's some of the best practices in responding to good and bad reviews of your business. Your Google My Business profile makes it easier to monitor and manage all Google customer reviews of your business. But it's not enough just to watch the feedback roll in. It's important to respond, and here's how. When responding to good reviews, be sure to respond to all good reviews. Responding to all of your customer reviews through your Google My Business profile recommends John Nestler, who's the lead writer and researcher for Postmodern Marketing. Don't just say thanks. Write a detailed, thoughtful response in which you address the person by their first name, thank them for being a customer and writing the review, and adding any salient points about your interaction with the customer that you think might put you in a good light. You also have to respond to the bad reviews. Respond to all your bad reviews, too, he says. Never leave a bad review unanswered. It's easy to do more harm than good if you aren't careful in your response. Be calm and courteous. Don't write a response when you're frustrated and angry. Don't debate customers, especially in a public forum. Get the interaction away from prying eyes. Lead off with a courteous, "I'm very sorry that you had an unsatisfactory experience with our business," and then provide contact details so they can resolve the matter with you directly. Once the matter is resolved to the satisfaction of both parties, ask them if they'd be willing to pull or amend the review to reflect the resolution. So make sure that you should be Googling yourself and your business on a regular basis so that you know what is or is not being said about you. And hopefully that is something that people are doing with their business on a regular basis, and also them personally. I mean, there are so many ways that people can leave feedback now, Yelp being one of them, Yext, all of them, where you really have to monitor your reputation online, because it's only going to take one or two posts before all of a sudden your reputation is ruined. And we've seen many businesses end up closing as a result of negative reviews. In sports, NFL Week 16 kicks off tonight with the Giants taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. Game time is 8:25, and it is official. The Eagles have been eliminated from the playoffs. In NASCAR, Monster Energy will now be the title sponsor of NASCAR's Sprint Cup Series, or what was the Sprint Cup Series. It'll now be called Monster Energy Presents the NASCAR Cup. In NCAA men's basketball, the top 10 looks like this. Villanova holds down the top spot, followed by UCLA, Kansas, Baylor, and Duke. Kentucky, Gonzaga, North Carolina, Creighton, and Louisville round out the top 10. It's currently 12:55. I want to take this time to thank you all for listening this year. Looking forward to more programming next year. We're also getting ready to move the studio to the new Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce office location in the large house on Main Street. So looking forward to a change with the studio. And had a conversation with the folks from the country music group Locash, and hoping to get them in studio as their popularity grows. We're hoping to that they'll still have a little time for a little radio station, but been having some great conversations with the folks working behind the scenes with Locash, and as their career starts to take off, hopefully we can get them in here and talk about the business side of the music industry as well. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well, when he said, "Never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best." If you have ideas for upcoming program topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. I am Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Ladies and gentlemen, have yourself a merry little Christmas and a happy Hanukkah, too.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay.
Make the Yuletide gay.
From now on, our troubles will be miles away. Happy golden days of yore. Faithful friends who are dear to us, gather near to us once more.
There's Frank Sinatra with Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Thanks again for joining me for another edition of Taking Care of Business. I'm Jim Gano. I'm Taking Care of Business. Next year, folks, make it a productive year, everybody.
And I'll be taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I'll be taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You're played after tomorrow. What are you planning to do?
Well, I also have a concert on Sunday in the Kimmel Center with the Greater Princeton Youth Orchestra.
Holy cow.
Yeah, and...